Danny Ainge, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Well, you know what? We're solving some science. We're breaking down some things that happened last night in the baseball game scientifically, and I think that I'm coming out kind of winning this whole thing.
Well, that was a pretty amazing catch by Benintendi. Were you guys still awake watching that?
I was. I know I was
not.
Yeah.
I did see Altuve gets cheated out of that home run. I did see that. Danny,
quite a catch. I stayed up every play. That was amazing.
All right, Danny, you played professional baseball. Could a fan make you close your glove completely?
Like what happened with Mookie Betts yesterday.
No, it looked like he closed his glove early on that play. And you know what was interesting? Was it Springer who missed that almost amazing catch?
Yep, that's right. After that, yep.
It was almost the same type of thing with no fan interference. I mean, there's no guarantee that that ball was going to be caught. And it looked like it was over the fence and in the stands. That was a tough one.
Yeah, Danny, I'm just going to leave the interview now and drop the mic.
You were on Team Fred. Fred said that because it looked like on the video when he went up that the two fans pushed it like his glove and it closed his glove. And Fred said that he didn't think it was possible that fans could close his glove. So that's what you believe. You're on Team Fred here.
Yes, definitely. It looked like his glove was closing before the ball was getting there. Yeah, I thought it should have been a home run.
Mike, could you please isolate that?
You're the only one of us four who's ever played professional baseball.
I'm with you, Fred.
That's right. Us athletes got to stick together.
What a ridiculous way to start the season with the Celtics. It was. It must have been a good feeling to know that your two quote-unquote best players, being Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, you know, Hayward coming back, both of them coming back from surgeries and injuries, that they, you know, point-wise weren't huge contributors, yet they still were able to blow out the 76ers. That must have felt pretty good as a GM that you built a pretty deep bench.
Yeah, no, we knew going in that we have a deep team and that's a challenge. It was interesting because I was telling Jason Tatum just the day before, I was having a conversation with him about, you know, like whoever's playing well. I mean, Brad has a really tough job. There's going to be different guys finishing different games depending on match, depending on who's just got the hot hand. And he said, yeah, everybody but Kyrie, right? Kyrie's going to finish every game. I go, no, I think so, because I don't think Brad views it as like we have a Kyrie backup. I think Brad views it as we have a bunch of starters and, you know, Marcus Smart or Terry Rozier on any night could be hot and playing great and be a great matchup and finish the game instead of Kyrie even. And he looked at me and rolled his eyes and goes, yeah, right. And then he said when he saw that happen in game one, he realized that was probably that is the case, and that's true. If it could happen to Kyrie, it could happen to anybody.
Yeah, what did you get out of that with Kyrie? Do you think this is just him getting his legs back under him since his surgery, or do you think he was pressing, or how did you read his, I guess, not so stellar performance during game one?
You know, like everybody goes through those games. I don't care how good a player you are. And, you know, it's just when the ball's not going in, you're just pressing sometimes to try to get it. And obviously there's rust. He didn't play a ton of minutes in exhibition season where he's coming back slowly from, you know, he's not practicing every single day. We're just being really cautious with him and Gordon. So it's just going to take time. I think both of those guys are just going to get stronger as the season goes along.
That's interesting. So how are you dealing with their practice schedule with those two guys? I didn't realize that they were taking some practices off.
Well, I think that everybody takes practices off on our team. I mean, we try to manage every single player with how feeling. You know, Gordon had some back spasms and he missed 3 or 4 practices off. But Kyrie just periodically, we just collectively decide that it's a day he needs to rest, and it's an opportunity for our young guys to practice more and get more reps with the starting units. And so we do that with Horford and Kyrie and actually every player that's going through training camp.
Danny, we had you on last week, and we were discussing how defensively you folks weren't very good during the preseason, and you told us, well, now we have a chance to put about a week's worth of practices together. Let's see where we are when the season starts. And sure enough, opening night, Philadelphia shoots under 40% from the field. They score 87 points. Things looked real good on the defensive end.
Yeah, our defense was the bright spot. I think we still have a lot to do. I think our team is going to get better as we go along. I don't think Brad was very happy with how our team played overall, but we did bring energy, and we did play with effort on the defensive end. And I thought, Gordon Hayward really stood out defensively. He was battling against Simmons and Saric, and we were uncertain about that matchup and how that would go. But I was very impressed with Gordon's defense. I thought that he was a real spark for us.
Is this something that you're going to continue with until Gordon Hayward's minutes get back? Is that it's basically going to be, for the most part, on a usual night, Aaron Baines that's going to get the start in his spot?
I don't think so. I think that depending on matchups, it could go different ways. Yeah, I mean, it may be Smart or Rozier or Marcus Morris or Baines, I think would be one of those four would get to start the second half. And I don't know how long that's going to go. That's going to be, up to our medical staff, up to Gordon and how he's feeling.
Well, did you talk to Gordon after the game?
I did.
Where's his head? I mean, I saw some of the post-game stuff, but, you've been following him through this whole trek. Did he say anything to you about what it was like to be on the court for the, essentially the first time since he broke his ankle?
Yeah, I mean, I think he felt good about how his body held up. I think he felt, like 25 minutes was a lot, and he competed at a very high level, and not playing basketball for a year, it's hard to get that conditioning back. But we're just trying to, him playing as hard as he did defensively was very inspiring to me, because that's usually where guys don't play with the intensity. They try to get their offense back and try to score points. And Gordon was the exact opposite. He's out there to help us win the game and not show everybody that, how good a player he is. He was very unselfish offensively, made some very timely shots, but was playing within the system and competing very hard defensively.
You mentioned being unselfish, and if you take a look at the number of shots taken by a bunch of your guys on opening night, it seemed like everyone was more than willing to share the basketball, and it worked out for you.
Yeah, we got a lot of guys that can make shots, and, it's good to have a team that you don't have to rely on one or two guys every night. That does take a toll throughout the course of the season. There's going to be quarters, I think even halves, where we are going to rely on certain players that get going, but not throughout a whole game, and it's good, and it's going to be different players.
And you said, Danny, we're talking about Kyrie, that you've had nights, and I'm sure every player's had nights where they're just off and the ball's just not going in the hoop, and no matter what you do, nothing's working. Do you prefer, as the GM, when you're watching like what Kyrie was going through on during the opener, do you prefer seeing those players pass to a guy, because if they're feeling off, like pass it off, or continue to try to take the open shot and try to play their way through it?
You always want them to continue. I mean, Kyrie is going to miss eight shots in a row and make the next eight shots in a row most of the time. So, yeah, everybody's encouraging him to keep shoot, but it's always a balance. Try to get someone else going, give yourself some time, don't put too much pressure on yourself. But, everybody on the bench, coaches, everybody are encouraging Kyrie to keep shooting. We want him to shoot those shots he shoots. He's one of the most efficient scorers in the NBA, and the kind of shots that he wasn't making in game one are the shots that he makes almost every night.
Danny, one of your chief competitors in the Eastern Conference is going to be Toronto, and there are a lot of questions as to how Kawhi Leonard would look coming off injury and all the stuff he went through in San Antonio. They played their first game last night. He looked pretty good.
He's looked really good. He looked good in exhibition season also. Yeah, he looks healthy and really good. And Toronto is probably playing as good as anybody, through exhibition season and opening night game performances. They do look like a tough team. This game Friday night is going to be fun.
Are you a fan of the, I mean, obviously back in the day, this seemed nothing, but in today's NBA, the stare down seems like something kind of special. And you got a couple of those with Joel Embiid from both Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown. Are you a fan of that? And it seemed like they were very lenient on the not calling any kind of taunting. Foul on taunting or anything on that. Are you a fan of the stare down?
Well, I think it's fun because, I mean, Jason and Joel are friends. You know, they work out together in the summertime, so they have a little bit of, you know, running commentary, and it's more for summer bragging rights, but those two are close. I think that it can get the officials have to understand when it's just fun and guys are just having fun trash talking, and when, you know, there's potential for, you know, violence on the court or, you know, some sort of fight breaking out. And I didn't sense that tension the other night in the game sitting right there. I didn't feel like there was ever any tension in the game. It was just fun trash talking type of stare downs.
If you could get rid of the taunting foul, would you do that?
You know, like I said, I think it depends. I think there's some taunting that's kind of fun and there's some taunting that is uncalled for and over the line. So that's why they just, the attorneys of the NBA have to eliminate the rule or put in the rule of taunting, because it's hard to determine, I guess, for the officials to determine which is over the line and which isn't.
All right, if you're looking to get to a Celtics game, be part of the Celtics home court advantage. Celtics.com has your tickets for every home game, including guaranteed tickets resold by other fans. Visit Celtics.com/tickets for more info. And Mr. Danny Ainge, thank you again for backing me up on my athletic theory, because only you and I have obviously were masters of the game.
I think you would have made that catch, Fred.
Oh yeah,
I'm a fan.
Yeah, you don't push me around. Yeah, I get that done. All right, Danny, thank you so much.
All right, guys. All right, have a good week.
All right, thanks.
All right, do we have the isolated audio of Danny Ainge?
We should. If we don't have it now, we definitely. I mean, listen, he's the one guy who's played, and he backs up Fred.
Yeah, if we can get that isolated audio, I would like to hear it.